The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground, it is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them. But to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord.
I think it might be easier for the people at the back to see me if I stand up here rather than down there, so it might be a little clearer to everybody. This gospel reading which we have today comes from Mark, chapter 14 in Mark. Curiously, that story about the farmer sowing the seed and then going to sleep and waking up and find the seed is producing a harvest is found only in the Gospel of Luke. It has to do with change. It has to do with the theology of death and resurrection and how this fits into all of life. The seed is planted in the ground. It doesn't die. It sleeps. And the farmer goes to bed at night and he sleeps. And he gets up in the morning and the seed begins to show a harvest. He knows not how. He does not make the harvest. There is some mystical, extraordinary power in the seed that produces a harvest. The same power that makes that seed grow into a harvest is the same power within this farmer when he sleeps and he gets up in the morning. It's about dying and rising. It's about change. But it's more. It's about the harmony of God's creation and how it is that the farmer and we are one with all of creation. We sleep and we rise, and there is some divine energy that gives us new life each day, just like a divine energy that causes the harvest. It has to do with change, but more than that, it's the Trinity God, the harmony which is found in experiences of change, the harmony which is part of dying and rising again. It's the whole economy of life. It's the presence of the Trinity God, bonded, three persons in one God, and the creator of all which surrounds us and of all who we are. There are times when we can offend the creating God. War, violence, greed, the abuse of God's creation in the world of ecology, all signs that somehow we are abusing the harmony of God's creation. We need to keep that in mind, to honor the presence of God creating in us each day, that we belong to creation, we are one with creation. And therefore, when the economy, our money, our power, our success become a dominant principle to the exclusion of other values, we are somehow contradicting God revealing in us and in all of creation. We won't notice that unless we have Sabbath. There's an excellent book written by Wayne Muller, a Protestant minister, called Sabbath. And in this book, he speaks about the act of creation. In the book of Genesis, we have 6 days of creation, and then God, the Creator, rests on the seventh day. It's not historical, it's theological. Unless you rest on the seventh day, you will not understand the other six. He says God on the seventh day created the Hebrew menuha, which means rest. Rest is an act of creation. And if you do not have rest, then you won't understand the gift and dynamics of a creating God. And by the way, it's clear that Sabbath is not just one day. Sabbath is a way of life. Unless you find places to rest and to reflect and to connect, then relationships will be offended, community will somehow be downgraded, and the world which surrounds us will be underappreciated unless we have rest. So much of life is unpredictable. Pema Chodron, this Buddhist nun, in her rather lovely book, Comfortable with Uncertainty, says, anxiety does not come from the lack of certainty. Anxiety comes from the false presumption that we should have certainty. We're in the hands of a creating God. The future is unseen. The present is changing. We are celebrating a change today to honor Cambria for her leadership here for the last 12 years. We should celebrate, we should give thanks, we should have a recognition. We should also understand that change is an invitation to look for a new promise. Tomorrow, on the 14th, Father Dennis and I will celebrate 57 years as priests. Our anniversary is tomorrow. When I look back over 57 years, the world was different 57 years ago. Elderly people like me thought the world was going to hell in a handbasket. Way back. I have changed. Holy Family has changed since I came here 37 years ago. And somehow, the fullness of God's presence is given to us in the economy of change, where we die and we are reborn, we sleep and we rise again. That's the whole meaning of incarnation. It's the whole meaning of growing, of living in God's presence. That's what the gospel is about. Being conscious of God's presence. Nicholas of Cusa, a theologian of the 15th century, over his door had this Latin inscription, Ubiquunque me virtu ades. Wherever I turn, you are there, speaking about God. Every experience in life has God's presence. Every change, every growth, every reversal somehow has God's presence. It's the gospel reading. It's dying and rising again. Unless you see your life that way, there's a danger that change makes us angry, or we're disappointed, or we can't handle reversal because God isn't present. But when we capture the theology of change, which is happening to every one of us, at 81 years old now, I'm not able to do things I did 30 or 20 or 40 years ago. That's natural. It's God's presence in my life. At my age, I look different. I used to have black hair. I didn't have many wrinkles. It's God's revealing plan. It's a plan for every one of us. And it involves light and darkness. We belong to the seasons. We belong to creation, which means we have seasons, we have cycles, and we have ages. And we have to integrate these into a spirituality of change. Think about that. I came upon this short verse from a 13th century Persian poet speaking in this way. If of thy mortal goods thou art bereft, and from thy slender store two loaves alone to thee are left, sell one, and from the dole buy hyacinth to feed the soul. We need to feed the soul. That's the word of God today. Never fear the aging, the difficulties, the challenges, the reversals of life. Wherever you turn, God is there. Feel the presence of God. Feel the redeeming presence of Jesus Christ in your life, and you will understand the gift, the invitation, and the promise of change in your own life, in your family, in your community, and in your church. The church changed since I began. Some people don't like the changes. They want to live back here. But that's not. We live in the present moment. All spirituality invites us to belong to the holiness of the present moment. Amen.
Cambria, please come forward to be blessed by this community. Today we are going to bless Cambria Tortorelli, who has been our parish life director for 12 years and ministering here for 13 years. We are grateful for the extraordinary love, commitment, and creativity this wonderful woman has given to this community of faith. There are scores of accolades to share with Cambria. She has received honors from the city of South Pasadena, from South Pasadena Mayor and Parishioner Diana Mahmood, from Congresswoman Judy Chu, from Los Angeles County Supervisor Catherine Barger, State Assemblyman Chris Holden, and from California State Senator Anthony J. Portantino. Finally, from this community of faith, we are giving her a John August Swanson serigraph of The Storm. This work was inspired by the words of Pope Francis speaking about the pandemic. We were caught off guard by an unexpected turbulent storm. We have realized that we are on the same boat, all of us fragile and disoriented, but at the same time, important and needed. All of us called to row together, each of us in need of comforting the other. On this boat are all of us. Just like those disciples who spoke anxiously with one voice saying, "We are perishing," so we too have realized that we cannot go on thinking of ourselves, but only together can we do this. As parish life director, Cambria did as Jesus suggested. She cast out a net to collect a plentiful catch. During Cambria's tenure, she has navigated the parish through many twists, turns, and storms, introduced many new ministries to our community, made major purchases, completed improvements, faced a pandemic, and never, ever lost her optimism to grow, to remain faithful, and move ever onward.
I invite you to please stand and extend your hands in blessing. Loving God, we ask you to send a special blessing upon Cambria. Let her know of your love and your guidance. Support her in all of her new endeavors. We are grateful for her call to us to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. We are thankful for her service, her leadership, and her compassion for this community of faith. We now send her forth to continue growing in faith, in mercy, and in love. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. We give you this blessing and make these prayers through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us offer our applause by way of...